chapter 23. King David, not long before he died, said these words, although, verse 5, 2 Samuel 23, 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. That is, even though I don't see all things now before my eyes, as the Lord says they are, they are. I'd like for us to consider today, for just a very few minutes, some thoughts on this everlasting covenant. I read an article that Charles Spurgeon wrote on this, and Mr. Spurgeon brought out some very, very wonderful, helpful thoughts for me. And I wrote this message out from some thoughts that he set forth in there, and I'd like to share them with you. Now, when we speak of the everlasting covenant. Now, David said, now this is all my salvation. This is the totality of my salvation. Now, you think about what he's saying here. He made with me an everlasting covenant. It was ordered in all things, and it was sure. The Lord made a covenant. Now, this covenant was made from before the foundation of the world. How do you know? Well, it says it was an everlasting covenant. Before there was anything else, there was God. Before the mountains, before anything, God. That was it. And Almighty God did not enter into this covenant with man present. Man was not yet created. But I will tell you this, that man's everlasting surety, the surety of the sheep, the surety of the covenant, the surety of the bride, the Lord Jesus Christ was there and stood as the representative of his bride. Christ was there. Almighty God has eternally had an elect. Now you know that. Scripture says in Ephesians 1:4, he hath chosen us in him. When? From before the foundation of the world. That's what Scripture says. We're bound to give thanks to God for you, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. Now, Almighty God is set forth as having established an everlasting covenant. Now, before anything else, God, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Spirit, and God is one God. He's set forth in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, three persons. Explain that. I can't explain it because I can't think. Like that. But I can tell you this. There's one God. There's not three gods. There's set forth in three persons. Father, Son, and Spirit. And you know what believers do? They believe it. They believe that. They just believe it. That's the way it is. At the baptism of our Lord, there was a voice heard out of heaven. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." And John the Baptist said, "And I saw the Spirit descend in the form of a dove." One God. God. And here's what the Scripture says. According to this Scripture right here, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant." Now listen to these next words. "Ordered in all things and sure." Now what did the Spirit of God just say? He said that according to this everlasting covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Almighty God, who according to Ephesians 1:4 chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world, that God Almighty decreed, determined, ordered in predestinating grace the salvation of his people. And what that means is that Almighty God, who is never to be spoken of as the author of sin, but according to his absolute wisdom, arranged, when I'm saying ordered, I'm trying to explain, he ordered in all things, and sure. He purposed, arranged, now listen, everything that would ever happen in this world, according to his perfect will, from the fall of man, Adam did exactly what Adam wanted to do. You say, well, God ordered it. God Almighty allowed Adam to do exactly what Adam did. Why? For the salvation of his people, for the glory of Christ, for the exhibition of the mercy of Almighty God. How are you going to see mercy without a sinner? Why would God allow that? His Son's going to be honored and glorified and praised in all things. He's going to be shown to be the Redeemer. He's going to be shown to be the one that pleased God. And Almighty God allowed Adam to do just exactly what Adam did. And God Almighty, in absolute wisdom, allowed Adam to do what he did for God's glory and for the good of God's people in redemption. God Almighty, from the fall of Adam until the second coming of Christ, ordered all things. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Is that not right? He orders all things. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and everybody else's are too, allowing men to do what they want. And at no point can they blame God and say, well, it was your fault. My friend, be careful. Be real careful. Because God's not the author of sin, but if he allows a man, a woman to do what they want to do in rebellion against him, whose fault is it? It's mine. It's yours. If Almighty God is pleased to save a sinner in Christ, who gets all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for that? Almighty God does. Now you just remember this. The problem is man. The problem is man. Don't question God and say, well, why wouldn't God do that? Why wouldn't God do that? Again, we're the problem. We are the problem. It's easy for me to look around and to forget that I look around and see chaos everywhere, and you know, and say, you know, isn't God ruling and reigning in this mess? Well, according to the words of the Holy Spirit, through Nebuchadnezzar, he is. He doeth as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and nobody stays his hand. Nobody has a right to question him and say, what are you doing? Nobody has a right to do that. But I'm telling you, everything that's going on today, that went on yesterday, and if God remains this earth until tomorrow, anything's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, this was ordered before the foundation of the world. God Almighty has ordered all things in that everlasting covenant of grace, predestinating grace. God determined what would be and allowed men to do what they want to do, and will turn the wrath of man to God's glory, and will judge man for doing what he did. Who is like unto thee? Who's like unto the Lord? Now listen, in absolute reverence and respect unto the God of all grace, I want us to look this morning at this everlasting covenant of redemption, in the Father pledging Himself to the Son to the Father, and to the Spirit, and the Spirit to the Father. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generation." And everything that Almighty God has everlastingly purposed, you know, it gives me great comfort knowing this, that God's in control. I'd look around right now and say, "But I'm telling you, I have never seen such a mess in all my life. This whole world's a mess." But I'll tell you what, you're right. This whole world's a mess, but God's in control. And God Almighty is going to bring all of this to the end, and Christ is going to be honored, and all God's sheep are going to be saved. I can tell you that right now. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Now here in God's eternal covenant of grace, Almighty God the Son, when He came into this world, because God orders all things, the Lord in absolute truth said this, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." How do you know? Because Almighty God has already ordered all things. And He's going to bring all of them to pass. He's going to raise up this nation. He's going to put down this nation. He's going to kill this one. He's going to make this one alive. He's going to do whatever He's pleased to do. Now concerning the stipulations or the terms of this covenant, here's what Scripture has to say. Almighty God beheld. He knew. He foresaw. Before man's creation that man would fall in the garden. Do you think Adam's rebellion fooled God? You think Adam's rebellion caught God off guard and said, "Oh, no. Yeah, that didn't work." You say, that's foolishness. That's exactly right. That's foolishness. God Almighty, before He ever created man, saw the fall of man. He knew that Adam, in his responsibility to obey God, would fail. He knew that. Almighty God had told Adam. He said, "You eat all the fruits in this garden except one. In the day that you do eat, and you will, you're going to die." And Adam, in absolute rebellion, did eat of that forbidden fruit. And in so doing, he died spiritually. And he willingly alienated himself from the Lord. And now, man in spiritual death. What does that mean? Well, if a man's dead, what can he do? Nothing. A man that's spiritually dead, what can he do in reconciling himself back to God? Nothing. Nothing. Men hear that, you know, in the day that you eat, you're going to die. And men say, "Well, I know, but I still believe that man can know." How can he if he's dead? How can a man that has no life? Adam rebelled against God, and sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And by that one transgression, the whole human race spiritually died. Everybody that was in the loins of Adam, which was everybody, all of us can trace our lineage Brother Gene did me a lineage thing, traced my lineage back, and I thought, man, he's got some stuff that went back, I mean, down in Louisiana, that went back to, you know, and then Spain and England and stuff like this. I mean, went back to the 1400s. Well, I tell you this, we can go back farther than that. All of us are tied to Adam. Adam. And when Adam died, all of us who were in the loins of Adam died too. Adam was our federal head, and we died. And now shame and guilt and fear filled the mind of Adam, and there was no heart now for fellowship with God. Adam didn't want to be around God. How do you know? He hid. He hid. Hid from God. What is the next thing that a spiritually dead man will do? He'll make himself a covering. I'm naked. I got to make my own spirit. I got to make me a covering. I'll get me some fig leaves. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll walk down the aisle. I'll, you know, straighten up and fly right. I'll be baptized again. I'll start reading my Bible more. I'll start this. Why does a man do that? Because he's dead. He's dead. He cannot. You know, a man starts to question these things that he's done. And, you know, he starts to question God. He starts to question God's authority. And what happens is the law cries every time a man questions the law, cries, guilty. Guilty. Yeah, but I thought, but guilty. Yeah, but don't you feel guilty? You know what a man will say when God saves him? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. It's me. I'm the problem. I don't doubt for one second Satan fought and his cunning and his diabolical hatred of Almighty God, that he had somehow destroyed any hope of God's purpose to have any kind of mankind, any kind of semblance of order. And so he was able to, you know, thwart God's purpose. And everybody that's ever going to be born in this world, Satan thought, I've defeated him. But listen, here's what happened. Almighty God saw the fall of man, and everybody in Adam died. Everybody died. Everybody died. All became guilty before God. They came forth from their mother's womb. First thing it did, they started lying on God. You know. But the Scripture reveals that the Father, in that everlasting covenant of grace, had purposed that all mankind would not suffer the just due of his rebellion. Now, man's the problem. Man has sinned. All died in Adam. Adam's fault. Adam's fault. Not God's. Adam's fault. But God Almighty, who is just, a just God and a Savior, had chosen out of the mass of humanity, out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, he had chosen a people. Now that's what the Scripture sets forth. Out of every nation, that's Revelation 5, verses 9 through 12. You read it. Every nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, thou hast redeemed us. Out of every little nook and cranny and here and there and everywhere, God had chosen a people. And he had given them unto the Son. And the commission that was given to the Son for the entire number of God's elect was that Christ himself would be the representative before God. This is what Almighty God the Father did. He chose a people out of the mass of humanity and entrusted them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was God's demand to the Son, to the surety. They were to be washed from their sins. They were to be preserved and kept from falling away and would be presented to the Father before His throne without spot and without wrinkle or without any such things. It's what Ephesians 5, 25, 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All men died in Christ, but God Almighty, according to this everlasting covenant that David spoke of, God had chosen a people. And Almighty God said, these shall not perish. I'm going to show mercy to them. I'm going to. But God is just. God's just. The Father chose. These objects of His mercy must be saved. And to these and these alone, the Father covenanted, I'm going to forgive your debt. Only you. Only you. Only you. I'm going to choose a people, and I'm not going to charge them with iniquity. I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to do it in absolute justice. And I said, somebody going to pay. Somebody going to pay. But He says, it's not going to be them. It's not going to be them. I'm going to have mercy on whom I'm going to have mercy. You're not going to die. Why did He choose who He chose? Scripture says, according to the good pleasure of His will. There was nothing in anybody that Almighty God looked upon and saw anything good in them. God looked and saw that every man's imagination was evil. Evil. But the Scripture said, God said, I will have mercy. This is the will of the Father. You listen to the words of our Lord. John chapter 6. John 6, 38, 39. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And He said this. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm here at the will of my Father. According to that everlasting covenant of grace, He said, I have a work to do. I have a work that He's given me. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. That is, apart from His. The Lord's will too, but not apart from His. But the will of Him that sent me. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the Father's will. God said, I'm going to have mercy. According to that everlasting covenant of grace, Almighty God said, these that I've chosen, they're going to be holy in my Son before me. They will without fail be given a perfect righteousness, the imputed righteousness of my dear Son, because I've adopted them. I've adopted them. These are my sons and my daughters in Christ, and they're going to reign with Him eternally. And it's going to be done in absolute righteousness. Secondly, as to the engagement of the Son in this everlasting covenant of grace, the Son declared, I will. In absolute oneness with the Father and the Spirit, I'm going to become man. I'm going to take upon myself the form of sinful flesh. And I'm going to walk in the accomplishment of His will. The righteousness that the elect lost in Adam's fall. I, as their federal head, will walk before God Almighty in absolute obedience, establishing righteousness as the man, Christ Jesus, their representative. I will walk before God and I will finish the work. My meat, my desire, my hunger is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish it. I will work out a spotless righteousness that shall be imputed to everyone that the Father has given me. And in the fullness of time, I shall willingly and obediently lay down my life for them. John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm going to die for the sheep. I'm going to put away the guilt of the sheep. He didn't die for everybody. Didn't pray for everybody. That's what He said. That's what the Lord said. I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm going to be made sin. I'm going to submit myself to the Father who shall make me sin. And I before God Almighty shall suffer the chastisement of their peace. And Father, I shall give myself willingly into Your hand and die under Your judgment in their stead. I promise to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm going to magnify the law in its justice. The law says the soul that sinneth is going to die. What the Lord said, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey. Execute judgment upon me in their stead. I'm going to die as their representative. And being the God-man mediator, I'm going to give myself into Your hand to be forsaken of You, that they never... What does sin deserve? Alienation from God. The Lord said, forsake me. Forsake me. Yeah. Father, I covenant to do for them Your will. Father, You chose them. You gave them to me. I covenant. I shall bring them to You without spot and without blemish. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit covenanted that all those given to the Son by the Father and all those redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would in due time be quickened by Him. Listen to John. I'll read this for you. John 6:63 as I close. John chapter 6, verse 63. The Scripture says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit, they're life. The Holy Spirit covenanted. Those that the Father chose and the Son has agreed to die for, to live for, to produce, and to provide righteousness, holiness before God, I'm going to call them out of darkness. I know who they are. I know who they are. Spirit of God who was there at that everlasting covenant. How are they going to come? Here's the way they're going to come. According to that everlasting covenant, it's going to be done through the means of the preaching of the gospel of God's grace. That's what I quoted a while ago. We're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you through salvation of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, where unto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of God covenanted, I'll call them. I'll give them faith. I'll give them faith. That's what it says. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. How are they going to believe? I'm going to give them faith. I'll give them faith. Those that the Father chose and the Son redeemed, I'm going to teach them. I'll seal them. I'll keep them. The Spirit of God, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, Father, according to that everlasting covenant of grace, chose, redeemed, quickens whomsoever he will. Almighty God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Salvation is of the Lord. David said, "This is all my salvation. This is it. He made with me an everlasting covenant. It was ordered in all things. And it's sure. This is all my hope. That's all my desire. That's all I want. Although he make it not to grow. Almighty God's going to save his people. He's going to save them on purpose. He's going to save them by grace. But he's going to save them in absolute justice and show mercy for Christ's sake."